It's such a joy to be able to come on these online services and share what I'm going to share on Sunday. It gives me a chance to focus and think about some things, too. Sometimes I preach myself happy, and I hope that you get something from the messages that we bring you on the online service. I entitled my message this week, Fear of Light or Darkness. And our scripture text was John chapter 1, 6 and 8, 19 through 28. And I was just wondering about a long time ago now, we know that man invented fire. Yeah, we have both fascinated about fire and afraid of this powerful force, because fire is power. It's raw and uncontrolled power at times, and most humans spend the bulk of our lives in a battle to control or obtain power. Well, whether social power or personal power, we feel our best when we feel in control of our lives and our surroundings and our relationships and our world. This is the story of Babel, and it has never gotten old. So, when we contemplate the light coming into the world during this Advent season, as we read the scriptures, we have to ask ourselves what we really think of that. Because light, like fire, is power, changing everything that it touches. And we are creatures, not only obsessed with power, our own power especially, but making sure that the power remains in our safe hands. The thought of outside power somehow changing us into something unknown and mysterious, frankly, freaks us out. Entirely out, matter of fact. Yet it happens every day. This Advent season, the advent of creation itself, light came into the world and changed everything. Light allowed for life, growth, change, adaptation. Light stimulates photosynthesis, circadian rhythms, the vision, the brain, the concept of time. Light's the power source of life. So, when John, known as the Baptist, long ago told us that the light was coming into the world, a powerful Messiah who would change everything, not everyone saw that as a good thing. In fact, it made a lot of people at that time very nervous. What would this kind of power coming into the world do to the status quo? To life as people knew it? To the comfort levels they had at their time and their lives, and what would it look like to have God among us in the world after God had been silent for decades? Not only that, would we know this light if we saw it? And then what would happen? John could not answer any of those questions. He didn't know himself. All he knew was that he was called by God to make an announcement, to witness to the existence and the anticipation of the light. A Messiah so powerful that he would change everything. As we talked about last week, John called for people to make their path straight, to straighten up their lives in expectation of God's presence. We call it repentance. They needed to repent, remove the inhibitions and distractions and sin, spiritual debris from their life through the water of baptism, in order to prepare themselves for the arrival of God. Jesus, who would baptize them with fiery light and purify them in ways that would singe their very souls. Through Jesus, God would tattoo his signature upon his people's hearts, as the prophets foretold. And you can find that in Ezekiel 26 and Jeremiah 31. So think of it this way. Ever go to wash your windshield after a summer storm? You know, you can have mud on there, a little bit of sap or dirt or tree debris, even bird debris and smudges all over your windshield, so much so that you can barely see out of it. And everywhere that you look seems to be cloudy and brown and dull. Light cannot get through that brown filmy mess covering your line of vision. So when you wash all that away with water, suddenly the glass shines clear and the sun sparkles through the glass. Colors even seem to be more vivid. The world comes into focus. But that's nothing compared to the new paint job that'll cover your car and make the old shiny and new again. Oh yeah, water washes away debris, but fire and light affect permanent and lasting change. John knew that his job was to call people to clean up their act and to allow the light into their lives. He knew the Messiah would change the world. He helped them by pointing to the light that was coming, hoping to urge them into excitement, preparation, at least curiosity. But his job wouldn't end there. Only the Messiah could effect permanent and lasting change. But John's job was recognition. Jesus' job was transfiguration. With that said, we must never underestimate John's vocation and his role in the coming of the Messiah. Because without John, we may not only not be aware of the coming of the light, we may not recognize him when he appeared. We need John to testify to the existence of the light and to point to it as it appears on our horizon. So today, we all still need a John in our lives. Amen? Despite the long history of Christianity, most people today have lost faith in the existence of something that lies beyond our comprehension. Loss of faith in the might and the power of God for a change. When we see the world as it is, people have lost faith in miracles and supernatural events, and lost faith to that a truth exists. And you think about that. Truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it exists that goes beyond the divisional claims for knowledge and verity that exemplifies our culture. Faith has gone the way of many of fantasies and creative imaginations. You know, like Christmas. Oh, you mean like Santa Claus and the elves? Is it any wonder that we fail to recognize Jesus when he stands before us? And yet, we have testimonies of those lives who have been permanently altered by God. Not old ones, but current ones, stories of today that happen everywhere, each and every day. And that's exactly what happened to me, and I testify to my life being changed because of that light. We have stories of healing, recoveries, addictions, and forces of saving grace, of a miraculous ability to forgive, stories of compassion, of love, over-the-top faith. And these people who have seen and recognized the presence of Jesus in their lives and have trusted to open up and let the light in. Hallelujah! Jesus, to take their broken-down bodies and to make them over completely new in their hearts, specially etched with this Jesus signature brand. Well, we live in a dark, we're talking about light and dark. Well, we live in a dark, untrusting world of doubt and disbelief. Many have lost hope in the power of change for what it feels like a never-ending cycle of pain and hopelessness. Yet, in these places, in these times of darkness, the light will shine most brightly when it appears. The darkest places will recognize the light. The most recognition is when it arrives. Jesus has not left our world. You heard me say that many times. He's not here in a physical sense. He said, I go home to be with Daddy. I'll send one greater than me, who is the Holy Spirit. So upon Jesus' death and resurrection, that's what he did. He sent the Holy Spirit to guide and empower us, to revive us and infuse us with energy and life and love and hope. But often, we need help to believe in his presence and recognize in his coming. We need a John. We need a mentor. We need a guide. We need a teacher. We need a spiritual person in our life who can help us cleanse our lives of vision and prepare us to see Christ before us, behind us, in front of us, beside us, leading us into this place of light. Well, John's call to repent wasn't an angry lashing. It was a gentle invitation. It was a helping hand to see one of the most amazing stories of healing in Scripture, which comes from Jesus' healing of a blind man's eyes by moistening mud and making it into a poultice for his eyes. Once the grime was washed away, his eyes were made anew, and he could see the presence of God before him. He saw not just with his eyes, but with his spirit. So as a result, he was made anew, born again. That's what we say. But this particular fellow was made new, and he could now see. So in a sense, John 2 is calling us all to agree to be made anew, to offer up our eyes and our spirits to be cleansed and prepared for this change, big change. In this, he asks us to put our fear away and allow for the light. Ooh, is that frightening? Yeah, it is frightening, sure. Change is always frightening, and the vast power of God before us feels unabashedly terrifying. For within that kind of light, we are sublimited, small, and entirely out of control. And yet, if we allow ourselves to step into the light, we will feel not made small, but made tall, as God raises us up into unimaginable heights and recreates us into maximizing our utmost potential as human beings. Wow, this Advent season that we're in, as you pursue repentance and prepare yourself for the coming of the Christ into your life, pray for the light in which you can see as you've never seen before, the light that will change you from inside out, upend your life into every conceivable way, and most of all, for the courage to let go of control, fear, doubt, and to embrace that life-changing light. For within it, you will find your true self and come face to face with God. So my prayer for all of us is simply this, that your season of Advent, your season of Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of the one who took the sins of the world to the cross of Calvary, that you be continued to bless, and that you may find yourself led into places of unimaginable beauty and light, change and hope, and above all, Scripture says it a lot, from Genesis to Revelation. When the Lord approaches us, he says, "Don't be afraid." John chapter 14, verse 1. Well, I hope and pray that you're having a wonderful time of Advent. I say a wonderful time because it's a joy to reflect on your life. And I hope and pray that we'll see you in church in person sometime soon. We will have a candlelight service Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock. God loves you, and so do we.